And you're listening to Free Fire Radio, a special edition this morning on AM 1460 KCNR. We momentarily lost our connection with Carl Bott and Bob Belongi at the giant flag on North Bocelli Lane in Reading, the sunrise memorial ceremony, remembering those who lost their lives during the 9/11 attacks. That is in progress right now. We were bringing you the ceremony till we had our feed interrupted, but we're working to reestablish that. So again, the program is Free Fire Radio. The station is KCNR AM 1460 in Shasta, and Shasta Reading, and we'll be right back with more of the ceremony from the giant American flag on this Thursday, September 11th.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens, and this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Okay, I believe we've reestablished contact. Good morning, Carl. Joining Carl Bott and Bob Belongi at the giant American flag here on AM 1460. Good morning once again, Carl and Bob.
Can you hear me, Bob?
Can hear you fine, Carl. Good morning.
Okay, we're going to start feeding the ceremony to you right now.
On the morning of Saturday, September 11th, 2001, 2,976 people from 93 nations lost their lives in New York, at the Pentagon, and on Flight 93. Today we pause to remember that moment of horror and pray for those left scarred by these terrible events. You pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we remember the first time we heard the news. We recall the first time we saw those images. We remember the way our thoughts and prayers were with those families who lost loved ones. Remember those who survived. Our thoughts and prayers are with them again today. We remember the pain we felt. We recall the bereavement and the bitterness of the aftermath. We remember, Lord, that you are a God of redemption and restoration. Help us forgive those who caused so much trauma, and that we may find release in that forgiveness. We know that you love the world. You sent your Son to bring reconciliation and salvation. We remember your Spirit inhabits your church. Help us bring your comfort, your healing, forgiveness, and hope yesterday, today, and forever. Let your love and peace endure. In Christ's name, amen.
Please remain standing as Interim Fire Chief from Anderson, John Bruno, leads us all in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Chaplain Little and Interim Chief Bruno. My name is George Winship. I'm the editor of the Anderson Valley Post, and I'll be your MC for today's memorial observance. First of all, we enjoyed the taps from Enterprise High School under the direction of Mike Costa and the California Fire Department of Fire Protection Firefighters Pipes and Drum Band under the direction of Dale Wilson. Please be seated. The Enterprise High School Band and Cal Fire Pipes and Drums will now perform Amazing Grace. Today we take a few minutes out of our busy days to remember and honor all those who lost their lives, not just in the initial terrorist attacks, but also in the resulting 13-year war on terrorism that continues today. We sprang up as a nation resolved to make this world a safer place in which all of us can live and enjoy freedom. Let's not forget those strong feelings of patriotism and national unity as we responded with incredible strength and determination to find out who led this attack on our nation. We all endeavored together to make sure that nothing like that day would ever happen again. Listen and contemplate your own memories of that day as the Enterprise High School Band, under the direction of Mike Costa, plays for us all again.
Yes, we are live here, Casey and our 1460. We're up at the giant flag on Bocelli. We're listening to the Enterprise High School playing, of course, all of the branches of the military. We have the men and women in uniform here today from all the branches. We must remember the fallen as they sit here today with respect. We are honoring today those who have fallen in 9/11. Remembering the families, and we are here again. The flag of honor is flying at half mast. We were able to see the flag be raised on the pole right as the sun was coming over the mountains, then lowered to half mast. It's a very emotional morning this morning. Again, they're playing the branches of the military, and as each branch the military has played, the gentlemen and women who have served are standing. So come join us up here at the giant flag this morning as we remember 9/11.
Thank you, Mike and band, for that tribute to all of our armed forces, and thank you, veterans, for your service. We now have a reading of a special proclamation for today by Elisa Coyle, president of the Enterprise Lions Club. She grew up looking at the Twin Towers every day as a kid, and she has some special remembrances of that day as well.
Good morning. Presidential Proclamation, Patriot Day and National Day of Service and Remembrance 2014 by the President of the United States. America will never forget the September tragedy that took our nation's core 13 years ago. On a day that began like so many others, a clear blue sky was pierced by billowing black smoke as a wave of grief crashed over us. But in one of our darkest moments, we summoned strength and courage, and out of a horrible devastation emerged the best of our humanity. On this solemn anniversary, we pause in remembrance, in reflection, and once again in unity. On September 11th, 2001, nearly 3,000 men, women, and children, friends and neighbors, sisters and brothers, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, were taken from us with a heartbreaking swiftness and cruelty. We come together once more to mourn their loss. We also recall how the worst terrorist attack in our history brought out the true character of the American people. Courageous firefighters rushed into an inferno. Brave rescue workers charged upstairs, and co-workers carried others to safety. Americans in distant cities and local towns united up to give blood, and organizations collected food and clothing. And in our nation's hour of need, millions of young Americans raised in a time of peace volunteered to don the uniforms of our country's military and defend our values around the world. As we remember all those we lost on that day, and the Americans who made the ultimate sacrifice in the wars that followed, we must strive to carry forward their legacy. On this National Day of Service and Remembrance, we take up their unfinished work and pay tribute to their lives with service and charity. Through these acts and quiet gestures, we can honor their memory and reclaim our sense of togetherness. In the face of great terror, some turned to God and many found comfort in family and friends, but all Americans came together as one people, united not only in our grief, but also in our determination to stand with one another and support the country we love. Today and all days, we remember the patriots who endured in the hearts of our nation and their families who have known the awful depths of loss. In their spirit, let us resolve to move forward together and rededicate ourselves to the ideals that define our union as we work together, our communities, and better our world. By a joint resolution approved December 8, 2001, the Congress has designated September 11th of each year as Patriot Day, and by Public Law 111.13, approved April 21st, 2009, the Congress has requested the observance of September 11th as an annually recognized National Day of Service and Remembrance. Now, therefore, I, Barack Obama, President of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim September 11, 2014, as Patriot Day and National Day of Service and Remembrance. I call upon all departments, agencies, and instrumentalities of the United States to display the flag of the United States at half-staff on Patriot Day and National Day of Service and Remembrance in honor of the individuals who lost their lives on September 11, 2001. I invite the governors of the United States and its territories and interested organizations and individuals to join in this observance. I call upon the people of the United States to participate in community service in honor of those our nation lost, to observe this day with appropriate ceremonies and activities, including remembrance services, and to observe a moment of silence beginning at 8:46 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time to honor the innocent victims who perished as a result of the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001.
We are live here at KCNR 1460. If you're tuning
in, thank you, Lisa.
We are here, Patriot Day.
Our keynote speaker this year is a young man who honorably served his country in the U.S. Army for 4 years.
Lions International, of course, does a beautiful job with the flag. This is their 13th anniversary. We have our MC, Mr. George Winship, who's the editor of Anderson Valley Post. We go back to our live ceremony here at the cherry at the giant flag.
He was deployed during Operation Iraqi Freedom for 13 months on various assignments, including patrols, raids, and convoys. While deployed, he earned a rank of Sergeant E5. Following his honorable discharge, he returned to Reading and attended Shasta College's Fire Academy. He then worked for CAL FIRE in the Reading area and eventually was hired by Reading Fire Department, an achievement he claims was his ultimate professional goal. His wife, Tasha, of 8 years, and five-year-old son, Wyatt, fill his life in their Reading home. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Reading firefighter Danny Shaw to present our 214 Patriot Day address.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming. It is my pleasure and a true honor to be able to speak to all of you on this very special and important day. A couple weeks ago, when Chief Gray approached me and asked if I would speak on my thoughts and experiences relating to 9/11, my first thought was, why me? But of course, I said, yes, Chief. I shook his hand, not really yet understanding what I had agreed to. After a couple minutes, a sobering reality hit me. I knew I'd be speaking in front of a crowd of strangers. My palms began to sweat and my stomach began to turn as the nervousness hit. What was I going to say? I hope it sounded good. After asking myself these questions, I started to calm down and began to realize that I wasn't teaching a class on underwater basket weaving or trying to reinvent the wheel. I'd be talking about a day that means a lot to me and a day that means a lot to all of us. September 11th, 2001 is one of those days in each of our lives that we will always remember where we were and what we were doing. For me, 9/11 began on 9/10. I was 18 years old in my eighth month of a four-year commitment to the United States Army. I had been assigned charge of quarters that day, or CQ. CQ was two soldiers who had to stay awake at the desk in the barracks to assure security for those asleep. It was a 24-hour shift, and I would be off at 9 a.m. on September 11th. Barely awake and exhausted, I remember a group of soldiers running into the day room that morning to turn the TV on. The first tower had been hit, and the rumors were swirling about what exactly had happened. I remember thinking that if we were going to war that day, I needed to get some rest. A year and a half later, the United States invaded Iraq. I was a member of the 3rd Brigade Combat Team who had been staged in Kuwait. It was one of the most exciting days of my life. We were well-trained and eager to show what we could do. In that year, I traveled all over the country, fighting an often unseen enemy. My platoon ran supply convoys, drove patrols, performed raids, and guarded gates. I was promoted to sergeant and placed in command of a small squad. I learned how to count to 10 in Arabic, as well as a few short phrases that I used often. I became acquainted with customs and rituals I'd never seen before, and familiar with the locals that I saw daily. We spent 1 year there, and I returned tired and proud of what we had accomplished. I'll never forget how rewarding it was for me to help free a nation from a tyrant and leave it better than I'd found it. For me, when I think of September 11th, it brings back all the emotions I had that day at the CQ desk. Fear, anger, anxiety, confusion, and sadness. It reminds me of a country collectively shouting, "We will never forget." And I will never forget. I will never forget how that day affected me. The confusion once I had learned it was a planned attack was coupled with the fear for my loved ones. I worried about my brothers and sister back home and how scared they may be. For weeks following the attack, I was angry and ready to bring justice to those responsible for the deaths of so many innocent people. I couldn't comprehend the feelings of the families who lost loved ones in such a hateful and cowardly way. I will never forget how fortunate I was to be in a position to help my country bring justice to those responsible. I didn't care who or where it was, I just wanted to go. I felt it was my duty and responsibility to act for those who could not, and honor their memory. I will never forget how those attacks were meant to bring down our great nation. But we banded together and became stronger than before. Thousands of volunteers descended upon Ground Zero to help with what they could. Small towns across America held collections for the costs associated with the operations and cleanup. Everyone instantly wanted to help however they could. We were mad, hurt, and upset, but we didn't back down or shy away from what needed to be done. I will never forget the enlistment increase of airmen, sailors, Marines, and soldiers who all wanted to do their part and fight for the country that they loved. I will never forget the 343 firefighters who heroically gave their lives trying to help those trapped or hurt. I pray I am able to honor their memory by my conduct and behavior as a firefighter. Today we remember those nearly 3,000 men, women, and children lost in the attacks on September 11th. We honor the thousands of service members who have given their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the tens of thousands of our wounded warriors. Although the memory of that day stirs up feelings of pain, sorrow, and anger, it's also a turning point in our country's history as we have become a stronger, more unified nation. My drill sergeant basic training used to always say a quote almost every day, and it's always stuck with me, and I'd like to share it with you. A man who does not fight for what he believes in is a miserable creature, kept alive only by the exertions of better men than himself. America collectively stood up and is still fighting for what it believes in, and I'm proud to call it my home. Thank you for this opportunity. God bless, and God bless America.
We're live here at the ceremony up at the giant flag on Bocelli. We just heard our keynote speaker, who is our Patriot Day address, which is Reading firefighter Danny Shaw, U.S. Army Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Inspiring words indeed, Mr. Shaw. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, in closing, we want to thank you for attending. We want to remind you to always remain vigilant in the protection and support of our nation. Keep your eyes open. There are terrorists out there who want to do us harm. Remember our precious freedoms that we all enjoy here today. We want to give special thanks today to a couple people, especially the Enterprise Lions Club, for erecting this memorial flagpole and for keeping Old Glory flying proudly for all of us to see as we drive up and down I-5. Thanks as well to the talented and hardworking Enterprise High School Band, and to all those who helped make today's ceremony meaningful. We especially want to thank ceremony committee members Jerry Gray, Deputy Fire Chief for Reading Fire Department, Mike Weaver, and Wayne Dunham, and also our technical crew and sound system operators from Bob Belongi Enterprises, and of course, who could forget our proud California Patriot Guard riders. Thank you. Have a great morning, everybody, and drive safely, please.
Okay, that concludes the ceremony. How we doing, Bob? Can you hear us okay?
Yes, we can hear you fine, Carl.
We're live here. Can you hear us, Bob?
Coming across loud and clear, Linda, yes.
Bob, can you hear us?
Yes, we can hear you. You're on the air.
Okay, we've had a... okay, we're taking a quick break here. We're going to have a number of people on after the ceremony. Okay, we're on the air here. We're just making sure we're going to have a few people here. We want to take a quick break here, Mike or Bob, and we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. Every week I get patients that say, Doc, I can't live with this foot and leg pain. Raymond Miner is a classic example. He lives in Alturas. He was in serious trouble. His feet and hands were burning at night, making sleep almost impossible. His balance was affected, and now he was using a walker. We introduced Raymond to a new form of treatment called analgesic stim. Used successfully in Europe for over 20 years, available only at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. Within a few treatments, Raymond began to feel better and threw away his walker. If you're suffering from pain, tingling, numbness, or stabbing pain in your hands or feet caused by peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point quality assessment to see if you are a candidate for this new life-saving treatment. In Reading, call 530-302-3555.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at WallnerPlumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday, I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning, it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing, suds.
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Down here at the Giant Flag, we're down here. We're here for the Patriot Day sunrise ceremony. Can you hear us okay down there, Bob?
You are coming through loud and clear, Carl.
Okay, great. I know we're out here. It's probably a little bit noisy because of the we're down here by the freeway. But, you know, it was a great ceremony today. It started at 7 o'clock with music from the pipes and drums of the CDF firefighters, California firefighters, pipes and drums band led by Dale Wilson, and then Enterprise High School band led by Mike Costa. Started with taps, presentation of the colors, the Star Spangled Banner, invocation by Chaplain Mary Little, the Reading Police Department, the Pledge of Allegiance by the Shasta County Fire Chief Mike Hebert. The proclamation was read by Elisa Coyle from the Enterprise Lions Club president. The Reading firefighter Danny Shaw was the Patriot Day speaker today. He was not only a Reading firefighter, but also a soldier in the United States Army for Operation Iraqi Freedom. A special thanks today to, of course, George Winship, editor of Anderson Valley Post, for being the MC. And, of course, the Enterprise Lions Club for what they've done here with this giant flag. Also, Bob Belongi, who did all the sound, and the Northern California Patriot Guard Riders. You know, I'm sitting here with a variety of people, and today I'm joined by Patrick Jones. Patrick, let me make sure your mic's on here. Yep. Patrick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Thank you guys for coming out today and on this very special day. Thank you for being here.
Well, you know what? We're happy to be here. What does this mean? What's a day like this mean to you?
Well, it's a day for us to remember, and certainly a lot of people have come out today to do just that. This flag symbolizes for us here in Reading just what 9/11 means and the significance of that, and for us to always stay ready and be prepared that there are people in the world today that want to do harm to America. And today we remember all of those people that gave their lives and the firefighters and all the personnel that also gave their lives for our country. And today we remember what they have done for us.
Okay. I think that when I'm hearing, when I hear firefighters talking, it comes back to me as a thinking about those, the hundreds of firefighters that stacked in those towers that went up to try and help people and were trapped there at the end. And without thought of life, I thought of what was happening to them when they came in off their leave. They came off when they saw what was happening. They came in to help their fellow firefighters and literally walked into the jaws of hell and were killed that day.
Well, and you know that very well, Carl. You've been a service man all your life, and so you know how difficult it is when you put your life on the line in dangerous situations. And firefighters know that as well. And here, over 300 firefighters gave their lives to protect and to serve. And all of our servicemen and women do the same thing every day. So today is a very somber day. It's a day that we're not happy, but it is a day that we're proud to be free Americans. And it's a day to remember. And so I'm very happy to be here. We're all very fortunate to be able to be here today to say thank you.
It is. It's true. Okay, Patrick. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Carl.
Thanks for stopping by here. You see Gary Cadd's here. Gary, why don't you come on over and say hello? I saw you out there. I'm going to ask you the same question. What's this day mean to you, Gary?
Well, to start off with, that morning 13 years ago when I got up and turned the TV on and saw what was transpiring and when those buildings fell, it just tore my heart apart. And then as the day wore on, the realization that we were at war and what kind of a war it was going to be, is led forward to what's going on today. And my heart goes out to those that died that day. My heart goes out to how America is changed by this. But my heart also knows that we're greatly changed, but America is ready for the challenge. And today is a day of remembrance of those that lost their lives on that day.
Okay. Well, thanks, Gary. You know, it's a special day. We're going to be talking to a variety of people here, and then we're going to be talking hopefully to Chief Rob Pelletti, as I believe is going to meet us here out here today if he's not here already. And we're going to talk about what's going on in our town and all this. But this isn't a day really for politics, and that's not why I called you all over. This is a day to remember those
that's right.
Nearly 3,000 people that died this day, and the impact it's had on this country. So, Gary, thanks a lot.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Okay, we're going to take. Let me see. It's about 7:43, so we're going to take a quick break here. Take us out there, Bob. Carl Linda Bott, KCNR, 1460.
Turtle Bay's 7th Annual Fall Plant Sale is Saturday, September 27th. Fall is the best time to plant most hardy perennial plants and shrubs in our area, and Turtle Bay's nursery has lots of them for sale. On September 27th, Turtle Bay members will get a 30% discount, and non-members will get 20%. Plus, free gardening advice will be available throughout the day from Arboretum and Botanical Gardens staff and volunteers. For more information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Pelletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
Bark and Wine.
Don't forget brew.
Yes, brew also. Hoping you will join us Saturday, October 4th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center for the 7th Annual Haven Humane Wine and Beer Tasting with sit-down dinner, live and silent auction, and basket drawings.
This event is our premier fundraising event to help the animal population of our area. For tickets and more information, call Haven Humane Society or go on havenhumane.net.
You did that very well.
Well, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
Yeah.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
It's Super September Savings at Redding Kia, home of the 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, with 0.9% financing for up to 60 months on all 2015 Kia Optimas and Sorentos. Come and get them on approval of credit. Subject to prior sale, plus government fees and taxes, any dealer documentation processing charge, and any emission testing fee. Finance offer through Kia Motors Finance ends October 1st, 2014. Redding Kia, Cypress Avenue, Redding, reddingkia.com. reddingkia.com.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSave, Dakine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Bott at Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
I'm an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. and her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Patriot Days in Germany. Good morning. Good morning. A lot of people here, but here with the people we're here with. And we're also here. Right. Okay. We're going to be talking to him. He is the head of the drum and bugle corps here. So, or the, I shouldn't say drum and bugle, I should say the bagpiper. So here, let me give you the microphone.
I'm not the head. I'm one of the pipers in the band, but I'm the one elected to do our speaking today.
Well, good morning, and we're so happy to have you here. You are in your full attire, and we just got back from Normandy as well, but we were in Edinburgh where we got to see the military tattoo and hundreds of bagpipers. So can you explain to us, get a little bit of, and first of all, thank you for your service and thank you for being here today in the remembrance of those fallen heroes and for the families for our 9/11 Remembrance Day.
Oh, you're welcome, and we appreciate. A lot of us didn't take up our bagpipe playing until October of 2001, right a month later. Watching a lot of the funerals on television for the other fallen firefighters prompted us to take lessons and start learning the bagpipe. So the majority of us been playing, just started learning in October of 2001.
Monty, share with us when you... The bagpipe, I mean, it seems, it's really, when you watch it and you hear it, it's an effortless, it looks effortless, but we know how hard that must be, because don't you have to inhale, exhale, all within one flow? I mean, how do you learn to do that?
That took us about, from start, at least 6 to 8 months, just to get from a practice chanter up to the bagpipes. The bagpipe, like it says, it's got a bag on it. You blow into it, that bag holds air. So you're constantly blowing into it to keep the bag full. But once the bag is full, then you have constant pressure to push out through the chanter, which is where most of the musical notes come from. And then we have three drones that come out of the top that provide the background, lack of a better term, it's just a background hum to complement the chanter.
And it's called chanter?
Yeah. The chanter is what the main tune where you hear the notes play. That's what has 9 notes on the chanter. You play with your fingers. And the other 3 drones are just play at a constant A and matched up with the chanter that we're playing.
Now, you're wearing, what would you call this? Your banner, but are these your family colors?
No, these are, this actual tartan that we have for our kilts and for our plaids is actually a registered for Cal Fire. We designed our own tartan. This is a Cal Fire registered one. It has our name. If you were to go to buy this particular style, it's going to be labeled with our name on it. So we designed it. Our pipe major, Charlie Martin, is the one that did most of the design.
Well, that's fantastic. These are the little details. Now let's talk about your hat. It's made from what kind of feathers? And you know, there's a traditional, you're dressed in complete traditional attire. And so how many people were in your unit today playing for us live?
Today we had 8 pipers and 3 drummers, I do believe. And I think with the whole band together, we have about 20 members of the band, including pipers and drummers. And this particular hat is made out of ostrich feathers. So if you look very tall, some of the British or Scottish bands from the UK wear bearskin hats. But this is the ostrich plume hat. It has extra plumes on one side. It's a traditional. We get this from the traditional Scottish military. And following that tradition.
Take a break right now. We appreciate your service again and being here today. We'll take a break here now at KCNR 1460. We'll be right back. Thanks.
There's nothing in front of me.
can't see nothing coming up behind. Make my way through this dark night. I can't feel nothing but this chain that grinds me. Lost track of how far I've gone. How far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound stone. On my shoulder, half mile of line. Come on up for the horizon. Come on up with your heads in mind. Come on up for the horizon. Come on up for the horizon tonight.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I would like to thank all of our customers who pay their bills on time. The delivery drivers are back from the fires and filling a lot of kerosene tanks, so don't wait till winter. Kathy has a lot of 1 gallon to 2.5 gallon propane bottles for all the campers and hunters. They're a lot easier to handle. We are doing a lot more wet hosing on construction sites for those who don't want to worry about fuel on site. Give Danny a call. Kathy and Johnny still have 1 or 2 used heaters left. They're going quick. If you need a new gauge or a filter on your kerosene tank, be sure to let us know, and we'll bring one out with your next delivery. Northern Lights Energy, Corning, Weaverville, and Reading. Family-owned, small business, and great people. Not a lot of answering machines. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Hey, welcome back. We're down here at the Giant Flat, the Patriot Day Sunrise Ceremony, and I'm here with Jerry Gray. And Jerry, are you the assistant, are you the honcho here, or are you the, what's your position exactly?
Good morning, Carl. Thanks for having me. I'm the Deputy Fire Chief for the Reading Fire Department, and I'm also one of the committee organizers that brings this event to Reading every year.
Can you tell us what this means to you all and you and the firefighters here?
Obviously, we lost 343 firefighters on that day, and it's an event that our profession will never heal from. But more importantly, we remember the 3,000 civilians that were lost and the hundreds and of service persons who have been killed in the effort to combat the terrorism since that event. So it's been it was a fantastic effort on our nation's part to come together in that day after 9/11, even that day of 9/11. And our efforts here are simply to continue that spirit and bring the community together.
Well, I can tell you today was a beautiful event, and the I was there at I was in New York several days after the after 9/11, and to see the fire stations and see what the impact it had, that a tragedy had on that city, but to see the fire stations, I already had photos up of the firefighters who had lost their lives that had come in off of on their own time. Their shifts weren't there, that they raced back to their stations to be with their brothers there to go fight this, you know, to fight what was happening, to go help what was happening, and marching up. I mean, just the having been in the Marine Corps and understanding this, but watching the discipline and the and just the sacrifice that they knew as they were heading up those stairs, those thousands of stairs that are to help people, that this was some bad stuff that was going down.
Yeah, we just like our service persons have done, we've taken an oath to protect our communities, and we're going to do so at every expense. And the sacrifices of the FDNY personnel are duly noted, as were the police officers and EMS personnel who died. But But this is a national event that we need to keep our focus on. And I got to tell you, Heroes for Firefighters are carrying M16s overseas, protecting our national interests. Those are who our heroes are. So we'd like to see this unity and that spirit of cooperation, regardless of our political backgrounds, regardless of what our personal focuses might be. We need to just be all together on this, united in the war against terror, and to preserve that that concept that we call America.
You know, you're absolutely right, Jerry, and this is a day to remember, and to thank all those first responders that were out there, and we appreciate so much what you all do for our community. And this is, and our guest has been Jerry Gray, who's the Deputy Chief of the Reading Fire Department, who is in charge of putting this on, along with our friends here from the Enterprise Lions Club. Mike Ferrier is here, but we're going to have to take a break. And I tell you what, Bob, we got like I think about a minute and a half. So, Mike, real quickly, can you tell us how large this flag is?
Flag itself is 1,500 square feet. It's on a 120-foot tall pole. It's the largest perfect flag presentation in Northern California and the most seen memorial in Northern California as well. Everybody going by on that freeway out there gets to see it. I wish they all could know that it was a memorial to all those that serve our country, police, fire, military, services like we have this morning. Just, it makes my day.
I can't tell you. I tell you what, the Breakfast Lions Club. We've got to take a break here. But thank you so much for what you do, Mike. You and the Enterprise Lions, and for our community. And we're going to have you back on after the break. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. We're down here at the giant flag. It's Patriots Day, and this has been a great celebration, a great memory of what happened 13 years ago today. We'll be right back after the news.
Thank you, Carl and Linda and Bad Bob. The news, a service of Shasta Regional Medical Center, coming your way next here on AM 1460 KCNR, Shasta Reading, after which we'll return to the giant flag for more live.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. In New York today at Ground Zero, people gathering on this 13th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, friends and family reading out the names of those who perished.
Bird.
Joshua David Birnbaum.
George John.
His woman's sister worked for Cantor Fitzgerald on the 100th floor of the North Tower.
We've come every year for the anniversary. It's sort of, you know, we feel we need to be here because we feel like this is her final resting place because nothing was ever recovered.
President Obama marked the anniversary with a moment of silence at the White House, followed by a memorial service at the Pentagon, as SRN's Greg Cluxton reports.
Hundreds of White House staffers joined the president for a somber observance on the South Lawn. He then attended a Pentagon memorial service where the audience included many families of 9/11 victims.
Here once more, we pray for the souls of those we remember.
The president said 9/11 terrorists sought to break the nation's spirit, but Americans persevered and proved them wrong.
As White House correspondent Greg Cluxton, President Obama says part of his strategy for dealing with ISIS means arming other Islamic militants, but ones who would be against ISIS. Michigan Senator Carl Levin among those who support the idea.
Their boots are on the ground already, and their own country's future is at stake.
The House Armed Services Committee Chairman Howard Buck McKeon says the president's approach falls short.
We need a comprehensive strategy, one that pins ISIL down and knocks them out. As much as I want the president's approach to work, I believe the minimalist strategy he outlined last night will not get us there.
Also at SRNnews.com, it's been slow going for the major indexes in early trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is off more than 70 points. The NASDAQ also struggling. It's down about 20. This is SRN News.
20 years of debt management services, nearly $100 million saved in finance charges. It's Trinity's 20th anniversary, and these are just a few of the milestones we're celebrating as we begin our third decade of helping people become debt-free for keeps.
My name is Mike. Trinity brought us relief by greatly reducing our interest and consolidating our bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment.
Call 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
When Superstorm Sandy hit nearly 2 years ago, the Federal Emergency Management Agency quickly sent out $1.4 billion in aid to hurricane victims. But now, thousands of people may have to pay back their share.
We're going on almost 2 years later, and people are still suffering, and they're still struggling to recover. And for FEMA to come back now and to start to seek repayment from people, it's really going to add to a lot of people's hardship.
That's Ann Dibble of the nonprofit New York Legal Assistance Group saying that struggling families are being harmed by FEMA's demand for repayment. FEMA is scrutinizing about 4,500 households that the agency says may not have deserved the assistance that they obtained at the time. Britain's foreign secretary says his country won't participate in airstrikes on Syria. Speaking in Germany after talks with his German counterpart today, Philip Hammond said that Britain will not be revisiting the issue. This is SRN News. Detroit has reached a tentative deal with one of its key creditors. It could remove the biggest stumbling block to the city's plan to reduce its debts.
A court filing says Detroit and the bond insurer Cincora Guarantee have reached an agreement in principle to settle the company's $400 million claim in the country's largest ever municipal bankruptcy case. Cincora Guarantee and fellow bond insurer Financial Guarantee Insurance have been leading a group of creditors fighting the plan by state-appointed emergency manager Kevin Orr. Most creditors have endorsed Detroit's plan to cut $12 billion in unsecured debt to about $5 billion.
That's SRN's Jeremy House reporting. He will not be convicted of murder, but Oscar Pistorius could still face a conviction for culpable homicide. The judge at the trial of the South African track star today said that prosecutors had not made the case for a conviction for premeditated murder in the shooting death of Pistorius' girlfriend last year. More details at SRNnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And we return you now to the giant flag on Bocelli in Reading. And Carl and Linda Bott.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. We're here again, yes, right on Bocelli here for the 2014 Patriot Day Sunrise Ceremony that happened this morning from 7 to 7:30. And we're here with two of the organizers of the event. Mike Ferrier and Wayne Dunham are here with us today. And let's go to Wayne first. Good morning, Wayne. This was a great ceremony. How long does it take to get ready to put this on?
Well, the cooperation between the Enterprise Lions Club, the Reading Fire Department, and the Cal Fire makes the event work very well. We each have a piece and a part that we do. The three of us have worked together for the last few years, and it just comes together very smoothly. It's a little tough to figure out the appropriate speaker. We'd love to, you know, have someone that's the that's had shared military experience and emergency response experience, et cetera. And we think we hit the nail on the head this morning with a young man, Danny Shaw, who is not only prior military but is currently a firefighter, just recently hired. And that just really makes us feel good that the young perspective of who's protecting our country has steps up and helps helps makes things happen.
You know it's absolutely true. Wayne, he was a good speaker today. He was very good. He spoke from his heart. I really like that. The fact is that he was on active duty when this started. Fought in Iraq, came back home, went to school, and then became a first responder. I guess there's heroism in his veins there, or a service to his fellow man that he's picked up. But
very articulate. I think that when we hear from young men and women like Danny Shaw, we've got a lot to be proud of in this country.
It really makes us feel good that we have future leaders that are like him, and that just works really well. The Reading Fire Department does quite a bit of the setup that we need. Cal Fire provides some parts of it. The Enterprise Lions Club, of course, Keepers of the Giant Flag, are an integral part of putting the program together. And it's perfect for us that it takes 30 minutes, because that allows people to stop by, get to work, still remember what the day is all about, see the flag at half staff for the rest of the day, and that we just won't forget what happened on 9/11.
You know, I'm hearing people honk as they come by, also too, during the ceremony, but also now as they drive by, they honk their horns. And again, kind of a salute to the flag, but also and also for this day. The flag itself is there's so much about that, and I know that you have to replace that flag on a regular basis. But Mike, how large is this flag? I know we've kind of talked about it before, but really, how big is it?
It's 1,500 square feet. So picture in your mind, you got a house flying from a flagpole up over top of the Interstate 5. It's monstrous. I mean, it doesn't weigh that much. It's only 42 pounds. But when the wind's blowing, it's like trying to hold on to a sail. It picks people up and can move them around very effectively.
Oh, we've talked about the flag before, and of course we've had the Lions on, and the Lions International Club, and we really appreciate the fact that this is a heartfelt project that you are completely committed to. How many flags do you actually have in your possession, and how often do you need to change out the flag?
I've got 9 flags in inventory. And we're about to place an order for 2 more. And we keep a couple extra large flags. The ones that we fly most of the time are 1,500 square feet. For the time between Memorial Day and the 4th of July, we fly an 1,800 square foot flag. And we've got to change them about once a month. A flag, it will go on the pole 3 times during its life, and then we have to retire it. And we have the VFW ceremoniously retire our flags for us. You treat a flag just like you do a person. It either gets burned or buried.
Fantastic. I mean, I think that's something that we need to think of as well. I know this morning when we were here at the sunrise ceremony, as the flag was being raised in the pole, and people were standing at attention. It was really an emotional thing. If one has not been up here in Bocelli during these ceremonies, when you raise the flag right when the sun starts to crack over the horizon, it's an emotional feeling. And I'll never forget listening to somebody who had the highest award honor to them. That's the Medal of Honor.
Congressional Medal of Honor,
who had said that every time he looks into the flag and sees the red, white, and blue and the stripe and the stars, that those stars, if you look inside of the stars, inside of the blue, that represents so many lives. Yes. That have lost, the families, the not only the lives, but how it's ripple down effect throughout our country, of people who have lost their lives for our freedoms. And when we think about the fact what 9/11 represents, 9/11 today is a day of remembrance for 3,000 plus people who lost their lives in this tragic attack on our U.S. soil. And I know right now we're kind of amping up. We're kind of wondering, oh my gosh, we're kind of in a heightened state right now with other things that are happening. But today, please take a moment of silence and think about what it must have been like to be in New York, or to have gotten the call, or to have been at the Pentagon, or been that family that, the parts of the family of those brave family members of the people who brought down Flight 93. So we appreciate you so much, and the Lions keeping the flag. The flag is so symbolic for so many reasons, but today especially, we take a note of just remembering of of this special day in history.
This day is very meaningful to our club every year. I mean, we plan for it, and to have a few hundred people at our flag, honoring the flag, and have the bands, it's great stuff. And I just love grabbing a fresh young firefighter and putting him on the crank to crank that flag up to the top of the pole and watching him and his eyes.
Is that hard to get that flag up there? I mean, I realize it's only 42 pounds, but then I was talking to the pilot that was going to be flying this when they set the Guinness Book of World Records on the largest flag I think ever to be flown.
Yes. Dave Everson.
It wasn't the weight of it. It was the mass of it, the area it covers.
Well, now the flag weighs 42 pounds, but there's 70 pounds of straps that are holding the flag on the pole and a 25-pound weight hanging off the bottom of it, and it's a workout. Let's say it's a workout to put that flag at the top of the pole. I've had club members that have said, we got to get an electric thing to put on there. Wayne Dunham might be one of those guys. And I say, I just tell him, as long as I'm putting that flag at the top of that pole, it's going to be hand cranked. It's an honor. It's just an honor. And we also don't want to hook a motor on that thing. And if something goes wrong, you don't feel it. Yeah. And it's kind of difficult to reach the top of that pole and run a new cable through the top of that pole. It costs us a couple grand to get to the top of that flagpole.
How tall is that flagpole?
120 feet.
120 feet.
Yeah, and as you can't get close to it because there's a fence around it. So right. That means you have to use a platform truck and put it outside of the fence and reach over to it. So you've got to reach 140 feet to get to the top of the thing.
That's a huge truck to get something like that, isn't
it? Yeah, the biggest fire trucks, the hook and ladder trucks, gets about three-quarters of the way to the top.
Which tells you something if you're ever in a high-rise hotel and there's a fire. What they say, if you're above, floor or down, you're safe.
You can get to it, but above that, nah.
Okay, well. Yeah. All right, so it's 70 pounds with all the accoutrements on it, but when you start talking about the acreage it covers.
Yes.
And this is what he was having the problem with, is when you're lifting this up, that the square footage of the flag and then that when it's
and the emotion.
Yeah.
It's just something you will have never done before in your life and you will never do again. And I've been cranking that flag for 9 years and it's still just every time it gets me. I love it.
I think it gets, frankly, you know, for me, every time I see the flag goes up, it's got special meaning. And I think it does to a lot of people that maybe, maybe they don't say anything. But I have seen so many times that people, whatever they're doing, they stop and they watch that flag go up.
I just have people call me on the phone and say, Mike, thank you.
Yeah.
I was driving by the flag today and I just had to call and thank you.
Well, you know, the Enterprise Lions have done so much for their community, and this is just another thing that you all do. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. This is Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460. We're still out here at the giant flag, we'll be here for a few more minutes. Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages.
Going through a living hell, and we vowed to get the ones behind Ben Laden. Have you forgotten?
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes. Smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Vistar Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Experience Lake Shasta like never before with a houseboat from Holiday Harbor. A houseboat is a fun and affordable way to relax with family and friends. Holiday Harbor has something for everyone, from personal watercraft to paddle boards, ski boats to towables, and so much more. Already have a boat? Bring it out and leave it in one of the Holiday Harbor slips. Food, supplies, or a little marine repair? Holiday Harbor has it. Staycation on the lake with Holiday Harbor. Holiday Harbor Resort and Marina, 238-2383 or lakeshasta.com.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Looking for an unusual quality piece of jewelry? Do you have a wristwatch or timepiece that needs to be repaired and you don't know where to go to? Well, Four Winds Jewelry is the place. They have the only watch repair technician in town. Four Winds Jewelry is located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. And Four Winds Jewelry are the experts in gold or loose stones, opals, estate jewelry, or Native American pieces.
Go in and see Leonard and his associates. Four Winds Jewelry, meeting all your jewelry needs. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4 p.m. 222-2750.
Four Winds Jewelry.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Yeah, well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR, 1460. We're out here at the giant flag. We've been here for the 13th anniversary of 9/11. What a great, great ceremony the Enterprise Line's put on, and the Cal Fire and our fire department. And we're joined here today by Reading Police Chief Rob Paletti. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chief. I've been watching you from across the parking lot there.
Well, I kept looking around for you. I couldn't see you.
I was waving at you. I've called you twice. And so, anyway.
Well, my phone's in the car because it's dead, so it's charging. Well,
so when you're getting, when you get phone calls from Michelle and Erica and like six other people, you can say, I saw him already.
I guess hey, I should have picked up my phone.
Hey, I've asked all the firemen. I asked Jerry about this in the fire department. But what's this day mean to you? Again, first responders, and I having been there, you've been there on the other side too in combat and this. But to I can't imagine in the sense of going up that tower, both those towers, up those stairs, knowing you had thousands of steps first of all to go, but carrying all the equipment and heading up those stairs, both the firemen and the police, heading up those stairs to rescue people and going into an inferno. This is so remarkable.
Well, you know, I tell people all the time that I love my cops and I love them for the reason that they're a different breed of people. And if you look at any dangerous incident, whether it be the Boston bombing or 9/11 or anything else that takes place, you can see that the emergency services personnel, just like soldiers, you know, when there's danger and everyone's running away, they're the ones running to the danger. And it gives me it's very humbling to be around people that have that character. And it was shown that day, and it's been shown in several cases since. And that just gives me a feeling of privilege to be called the chief of police of a place that leads people like that have that courage to run to danger.
Well, you know, and the thing is where this honors our entire nation today, or when our entire nation is honoring first responders, our military, and those who have served on Patriot Day here, and for those who love our country. So this is, you know, this is a day for everybody. Our first responders are still going into fires, still going after bad guys, still on the front lines and on the walls of, you know, out there in Iraq and Afghanistan. And now we're getting ready to reintroduce troops back into Iraq as, quote, trainers, not to be in combat. This thing is
I assume they're going in Iraq. They may be going to another country to do the training. But, again, you know, everything that's gone on since 9/11, it seems like we're recycling.
Yeah, it's obvious, you know, with ISIS or ISIL or whatever acronym you want to use, that the war on terror is not over. We have my battalion that I command has two military police companies, one leaving this week and one leaving in January to go to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, for a year to work at the detainee center there. So we still have soldiers going out the door on a regular basis to serve the country and continue to fight on the war on terror. So it's not over, but I think that, you know, from my experience, I think that the military in total, although the cutbacks are taking place, you still have, you know, dedicated soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marine that are willing to stand up and defend their country. And that when you add the National Guard and Reserve to that, you have, you know, a very dedicated group of individuals willing to take that step and defend their country and the ideals that it stands for.
You know, and the especially with a war like this, and when you start talking, a war on terror is like a war on crime, the way I look at it. It's a never-ending battle that you might break some of the big games, but then there's other gangs just waiting there to take their place, you know, to step up and take their spot. So we broke Al-Qaeda's back. We took out some of their major leaders. We still do. And then you get something like ISIL. Just like you could be fighting a gang here in Reading, and you break the back of one gang, there's always another one coming up. So it's, I guess, people, what we need to understand in our country, this isn't like World War II or World War I that you can get a surrender from the Axis and totally beat them. And because you can, it's a continuous fight that's going to be going on throughout our lives, it appears now.
Well, and it's very different in the fact that we're not fighting governmental agencies anymore. We're fighting non-governmental organizations that are extremist in their views. And, you know, it's kind of like fighting, you know, drug dealers. When you take out one, there's always another one willing to step into their place. So I agree with you. It is a never-ending struggle. And the fact that, you know, the military's having to turn away candidates because of cutbacks, that just shows how dedicated the citizens of our country are, that they're still willing to, you know, I've been a soldier since 1990. I joined during the Cold War, and nobody ever thought we were going to go to war again. But a majority of my soldiers have entered during a time of war, knowing that they were going to have to go and serve in that condition. And that gives me a lot of respect for these young, you know, a lot of stuff. I told a group yesterday, a lot of stuff is said about this new generation of kids that are so consumed with themselves and their iPhones and their internet. But, you know, I've seen 20-year-old sergeants lead convoys through the center of Baghdad in a very dedicated and selfless manner and be willing to jump out of up-armored Humvees to provide medical assistance to wounded soldiers. And I can assure, you know, the veterans that have come before us that this young group of people is holding those standards that they set many years ago, and they should be proud of these young men and women that serve today.
You know, and I've noticed that too. It's the fact is in 1990 when we were moving into Desert Shield and then into Desert Storm, there was a questionnaire because our last big fight had been in Vietnam. We might have had a couple of small things, but last big fight was Vietnam. None of our young men and women had ever been in combat. And of course, they did extraordinarily well, and because they, you know, well trained, smart, tough. And then since then, we've had several incidences that led, of course, then we had 9/11, which has been a continuous war now since for 13 years that we've been in. And again, there's still, you know, people are still wanting to join the military, and now we're ramping back up again. Even though that this looks like this could be a air war or a proxy war or whatever, it's not going to stop. And we should not make the mistake of weakening our defenses because we think that things are quiet, because they're not quiet. As soon as you take your boot off the neck of an extremist group like this, they're going to stand up, gather more people, and come right back at you.
Well, and the really concerning part is, you know, no offense to the Air Force or the Air Wings,
no.
But you know, the way that you really defeat these types of insurgency is with boots on the ground, and you gain ground and hold ground and don't allow them to have their safe havens, and that's that worries me a little bit, you know, right now, because obviously I've seen Iraq twice, and quite frankly, I don't care to visit it again. But you know, we've got a lot of dedicated people out there that are willing to take that mission if that's what our country needs it to do,
and to go back again. No, I agree with you, and you know, I let me liken this to what we have here in town, or in a lot of cities. Is as long as we have a police boots on the ground in an area, we control it. It's safe. As soon as the police go away, the bad guys raise their heads again. So, you know, that's not saying we should have boots on the ground in everybody's house. We don't want that, or even on everybody's street. But enough of a presence so then is that they don't know where you're going to be, so they will hold back or maybe leave that area if there's been a surge. So I look at this as needing more police on the ground. It's like we always said when we were over there, is that we need more boots on the ground. And as soon as we surged to that 30,000, we ended it right then, because we could take a piece of property and then hold it. And you're right. You can bomb it and bomb it and bomb it, and until you put an infantryman standing there, you're not going to own it. They'll come back.
Or an MP.
or an MP.
Well, you know, it goes to that concept of a boat. You know, when a boat goes through the water, it pushes the water aside, but when the boat leaves, the water fills back in. You know, it's not unlike that. And you know, we an insurgency or a terrorist organization will always likely cause itself to collapse because of the populace itself gets tired of the abuse and the murder and everything else. And we saw that with the Sunni awakening in Iraq about the same time as the surge, where, you know, they started to turn against those terrorist organizations. The problem is how long does it take for them to get to that point where they have that capability, and how long are we going to stand by to allow that to happen before we step in and take action against it? Right now, you know, Iraq is unique terrain for a military battle because of the flat nature of the desert, and it's very few places to hide. So, you know, air campaigns in that type of terrain is very, very effective.
You get into the cities and the mountains.
Yeah, the cities and the mountains. And once you get into that terrain, it becomes less effective, and that's where you need the boots on the ground.
Well, let me hear. Hey, Mike Ferrier is still here. Mike, you've been listening to what's been going on here. And one of the other questions we had here is when we start talking about the giant flag, is how long is it going to be able to fly?
We're dedicated to have that flag flying forever, and I want to thank the city of Reading. We did drive-through fundraisers for 4 years. After the pole was up and we had it flying and we were maintaining it, we did fundraisers to generate assets. They're being handled by the Shasta Regional Community Foundation. There's $203,000 in a fund to keep this flag flying forever. We only tap out growth out of the account. They tell us each year what the amount is that we're capable of using out of it, and we don't even use that amount. And flag will stay there forever. That flagpole, I could bring a crane in here and pull it out of the ground and stick another one in the same hole. It's just held in place by sand. So if a truck came up off I-5 and took that pole out, I could replace that pole in a week. And we do maintenance on it on a regular basis, replace all the stuff on it every 6 years. It's about time to do it right now because we're 12 years in. Flag was put there on the first anniversary of 9/11 and is dedicated to all those, like Chief Paletti here, that serve locally, police, fire, everybody that goes in when everybody else is running out. And I'm just honored to be the keeper of the flag. It's one of the warmest things in my heart.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Enterprise Lines. Chief, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back right after these messages. Carl Lindebot, KCNR, 1460.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Were you in the yard? Your wife and children were working on some stage in L.A. Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor? Or did you just sit down and cry?
is Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane Society. The heat is upon us, and I wanted to remind everyone of how hot it can get in a car or the back of a pickup for our pets. If you see any unattended animals in cars in the heat, please call Haven Humane Animal Regulations at 241-2550 so we can help.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
The City of Reading Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. Reevaluate your current outdoor watering schedule. Make sure to water later in the evening or early in the morning, because when it's hot or windy, more than a third of the water can be lost to evaporation. Watering your landscape during the coolest part of the day allows water to soak into the soil and minimizes runoff. Be water smart. Visit ReadingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Water Utility.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Yeah, they're
cheap.
You
know, like,
I have a big 8-track
Yeah, they're super easy to use, too.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Linda Bott. Good morning. We are on location, even though we're here kind of by ourselves. Everybody else seems to have left here except the flag. We got, of course, Reading Police Chief Rob Poetti is with us. And good morning, Chief.
Good morning.
Hey, I don't know if you – well, I know you did hear it. Yesterday we had a Chris Schwag was on the show, and I can't – I just can't picture anybody being more succinct and more direct in what she believes and what's going on here in these illegal camps and the impact it's had on our society here. I mean, she is she was a direct respondent or direct recipient, I should say, of an illegal camp when the fire that started down there across from Wind River and burnt her fencing up caused a relatively little damage that way because it was 2730 acres, but the amount of money that was spent on fighting that fire, they dropped the retardant and then helicopters flying continuously, dropping water, 11 or 12 trucks out there. And, you know, you say, okay, that was hundreds of thousands of dollars right there. But then the follow up with REU down there repairing all of the lines, putting in all the new switching areas there that had burnt up. You had other firefighters down there fighting spot fires. I mean, the cost of this had to be close to $1 million.
Yeah, I don't know the cost directly of that fire. I that would be a good question for Chief Kreitman. But you know, the amount of transient camps that we're getting in the community right now, and that we've been dealing with over the last couple of years is an immense problem. And we don't necessarily, you know, I had to restrict Bob Brandon to just dealing with the public open space because one guy just isn't enough to deal with the volume that's taking place right now.
And I know where you are. I know how stretched you are. Everybody, you know, when we had the town hall meeting, you know, a thousand people there, maybe more, they were, you know, turned away, of course, when they found out that how stretched thin you are. And then add on top of that injuries that you guys suffer fighting these recalcitrant asses. I can say that, you know, there was no hyphen in there. The fact is, though, is you'd love to put three or four people on this heading, you know, from camp to camp to keep them on move, but you just don't have the people.
Yeah, I think that we've made some, you know, good steps with the Homeless Outreach Project, trying to connect these people with programs and things that will help them solve the condition of homelessness. But there's a lot of them out there that just don't want the help. And that's that won't population that we're talking about that are here, that are camping, that are here to, you know, participate in the marijuana harvest and that are here to commit crimes. And they're here because we have a relatively mild climate. You know, it's we have easy access to water. We have a lot of open space.
We have I-5 that drops them off.
We have I-5 and a Greyhound route and everything else. There's just a lot of – and we have all the social services in the city of Reading because it's a county seat. And county seats are challenged throughout the state with this. I was just talking to a business owner the other day that was in Eugene over the weekend, and he said he thought it was actually probably double as bad as it is here. I just went to the California Police Chiefs Association, the board meeting last week, and they were talking throughout the state about the problems they're having with homeless encampments in San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara, Ventura, Sacramento, San Francisco, all the county seats. And it is a challenging problem that we're having. And for a couple of years now, we've been really kind of saying, you know, stop enabling and really kind of stop giving them all the free stuff to make them comfortable and make them have to go to the Good News Rescue Mission and places that are focused on trying to solve that condition and not enable it and continue it.
You know, I think this is what people are saying, but is there a way, and this goes back to our leadership, and okay, and I'm not, this goes back to our city council, my friends, is that there's got to be ordinances passed, and as far as, you know, DuVernay ought to be writing right now, figuring out ways of being able to write ordinance that, one, at least for safety's sakes, is that the median goes away for begging.
That's in the works right now.
That's in the work. The other one is the no sitting in line.
Yeah, actually I've got a volunteer that's a retired police captain that called me and wants to do the research on that. The problem that I had with the one before was that if you're going to write a law, it has to apply equally to everybody.
Everybody.
You can't focus on a certain population.
No, that's discriminatory.
And he's working on that right now, and we'll propose that in the near future. We've also met with ABC to look at things like alcohol exclusion zones or, you know, limiting the sales of the small volume singles. That doesn't look like that's going to be something that is applicable,
well, you know,
or legal to do.
There? Yeah, well, what's going to happen there is then they'll just steal something else because this
Chico,
is a major problem.
Chico has been putting restrictions on the sales of singles to for new licenses for quite some time, and what the vendors or what the businesses do is just attach two of the singles together and sell them as a double. So they've gotten around that law, and really, you know, you have to understand that portion of their business also brings them a lot of profit. And that profit, you know, is what's sustaining their business. So I understand it from a business standpoint, but at the same time, we have a huge problem. But, you know, there's hundreds of places that have the ability to sell alcohol in town, and getting them all to want to voluntarily comply with something like that is almost impossible to get.
Okay, so I know that you guys have been out there pushing the parks and issuing a lot of tickets to try and get these people out of the parks, the ones that are camping out there overnight.
Yeah, the motorcycle officers have been coming in the early morning hours, and it's illegal. The parks do close, and they still sleep out there, so they've been issuing and doing enforcement from that angle. The bicycle patrol has been received very, very well by the business community and
the
citizens.
Oh, they're doing a great job.
And they're out issuing citations for alcohol in public and for, you know, retrieving. They did a mission the other day where they went around and retrieved all the stolen shopping carts. So we've been trying to do a little bit more on the enforcement side within the resources that we have. Hopefully that has a good effect. But we also are trying to, you know, with the homeless outreach program, be sensitive to those that haven't chosen that life condition and want need help. So we're trying to attack it from several different angles right now. And Bob Brannon, you know, I've said several times, the hardest working guy in the police department. He's still out there tagging and cleaning up camps. And the serious concern that some of the firefighters had the other day at that fire in the transient camp down there the other day is that they go down there to fight the fire, and now they're not just fighting fires, but they're trying to avoid the needles and the human feces and other things that come with these. And there's some big concern for how that feces is going to affect our water shed.
Well, that's the other thing is there's so much of it dropping down into Clear Creek there, and Clear Creek is very close to the Sacramento, and there's trenches of filth that go in there. What I see here is a subculture that has grown and is growing in the camps, where you get alpha males and their group that are controlling what's happening in the camp. It's almost like a little fiefdom there. If people come in, they're protected, but what do they have to give up for that? Because, you know, this is their group, but the lack of sanitation is, I don't know which state department or county department needs to go down there and just start hammering that. It's, the water has got to have been contaminated.
Well, and that's one of the challenges that we face is, you know, which governmental entity do you run into? You know, you have county public health, you have, you know, those that control the watershed, you know, the Bureau of Land Management's concerned about these areas next to the creeks that filter, you know, stuff out of the water, but then, you know, that is creating the shelter for the homeless,
right,
the riparian district.
Right.
So, you know, it's a multifaceted problem, and it is really complicated to try to find that solution.
And again, this is not against the homeless people that want help, that we want them to be able to get back on their feet and all that. We're talking about a culture, a transient culture here that is causing much of this problem. Chris Schwaga was so clear yesterday is that she is under siege. And if she's under siege, I received a letter from a lady in Weaverville, an email, and I can't pull it up right now, but I promise you I will talk about it. But the same things are happening up there. And people that are being brought from, somehow they're making it from Redding to Weaverville. And they again are handing out the toothbrushes, the clothing, the food, the sleeping bags, and all this, so that they're starting to get their subculture out there.
Well, and when Nick Bundy did his cleanup in Linden Canyon, he found piles and piles of unused clothing. So, you know, we're sometimes a little bit too generous, in my opinion, and we need to take a little stauncher stance with these folks, so that we don't make them so comfortable that they don't feel a need to change.
Well, maybe we need to put licenses on organizations that are going to be handing out things.
Well, and you know, they go into a lot of the charitable groups go into the and hand out lunches in the parks, but they don't stay to clean up the mess that they leave of the garbage around, you know, when they do hand out the lunches. So, you know, the mayor has been pushing to get a meeting with some of the churches and other charitable organizations to at least say, hey, if you're going to come hand out these lunches, and stick around and pick up the trash, because the parks employees are having to go on a continual basis and clean up the bathrooms and the other things that just get trashed by the transient population that they're having to clean up so normal citizens can use them every day.
All right. Our guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Pelletti. We're going to take a quick break here. Carl Linda Bott, KCNR, 1460.
When the cry went out on 911, a hero heard the call. There was terror in the skies above, with little time to sorrow. Then he rang his wife and family to say he loved them so. Then he told the other passengers, let's roll. Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done. Let's roll, America. There's a battle to be won. Wake up, America. You're too young to die. Let's roll, America. It's the good Lord's on our side.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
By me.
And me.
And us.
Mary's great-grandsons, Vincent and Luigi here, celebrating Mary's Pizza Shack's 55th anniversary with a radio spot made by 55
friends, family,
and kids
from all the way back in 1959 when Mary started the first shack in Sonoma Valley.
Today, there are 19 shacks from Walnut Creek,
where kids make their own pizzas,
to Santa Rosa,
where the meatballs are as big as your head.
And every one of them makes Mary's legendary homemade pizzas, pastas, and salads with our secret family recipes.
Just like Mary did back in 1959.
I've been coming to the shack since before you were born.
Whoa, how old are you?
That's not an appropriate question.
Thanks to everyone for 55 great years.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Experience Lake Shasta like never before with a houseboat from Holiday Harbor. A houseboat is a fun and affordable way to relax with family and friends. Holiday Harbor has something for everyone, from personal watercraft to paddle boards, ski boats to towables, and so much more. Already have a boat? Bring it out and leave it in one of the Holiday Harbor slips. Food, supplies, or a little marine repair? Holiday Harbor has it. Staycation on the lake with Holiday Harbor. Holiday Harbor Resort and Marina, 238-2383 or lakeshasta.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. We're out here at the giant flag, yeah, I know, on location. It was the 2014 Patriot Day Sunrise Ceremony here put on by the Enterprise Lines and, of course, Cal Fire, our Reading Fire Department, and Shasta County Fire. Out here on Bocelli Lane, the 13th anniversary. It was just a great ceremony. And I tell you, the young man that addressed everybody here for the Patriot Day address, Danny Shaw, Reading firefighter, but also a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom, was in the Army when 9/11 happened. He is now a firefighter right here in Reading, California. And we're very proud of him. Very proud of all of our first responders. And Sheriff Basenko just rolled through here. So, Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Fine. You know, this is what I'm asking all of our first responders is what's this day mean to you, Tom, personally?
Well, it is a day of remembrance. I remember where I was and remember walking into the station, sheriff's station, and the TV was on, and one of my folks said, hey, we're under attack. And they showed the first tower had been hit by the plane and was on fire. And then they saw the more TV news coverage of firefighters and police officers from NYPD and other public safety agencies there running into the buildings to save others. And then the collapse of the buildings, knowing that thousands and thousands of lives had been lost as a result of being the terrorist attack that occurred on American soil.
You know, the do you think sometimes, even though we've been at war, I mean, literally since that day, with men on the ground, planes in the air and all this, ebbing and waning at times, but constant, do you think sometimes people forget?
I think sometimes we get busy after the incident in our lives, and that's the whole point of it today, is to always remember and never forget. It comes back around at Memorial Day to never forget those men and women of our armed forces who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country and for our freedoms.
You know, we're talking here to Chief Rob Poletti about, you know, changing the subject a little bit, but always being ready in our first responders. And what government, to me, what government is supposed to do is take, it has two functions. It's to keep us safe and to keep the infrastructure strong so that we can drive on the roads, we can get the water, and we can be protected. Do you think sometimes government forgets that?
I think so. It's part of our California Constitution in the articles that the first responsibility of government is public safety.
You know, I'm going to ask Rob this question. I'm going to ask you, how many more deputies for this county this size do you need?
To do it right?
To do it right.
At minimum, I'd probably say 50. We lost 45 positions in 2009 due to budget cuts. And 11 of those were deputy sheriffs, live bodies that got laid off. And then there was a number of other positions that we had that we lost that we didn't have the funding for. And I found some paperwork the other day from 1993, and we had more officers as a whole in the Shasta County Sheriff's Office and more deputies on the streets than we do right now. And we know that crime has risen significantly. Our population has gone up, but we have less officers
over
on the street.
Over two decades later.
And I know that, Chief Poletti, I know that your staffing levels are back into the 1980s, if I'm not mistaken. 1996. So about the same thing. We saw more officers in Reading Police Department in 1996 than we have now, and more deputy sheriffs on the streets of Shasta County in 1993. And we've had a lot more crime, a lot more issues since then.
Right. We've got AB 109 now. Now, Chief, when
that's even then, if we were up to our staff from where we were in 2009, that was prior to prison realignment and AB 109, and we've been inundated with issues of crime and property crime and jail issues since then, and that's affecting almost every county in the state of California.
Yeah. Well, Sheriff Basenko is going to be our guest next week, because we want to talk about the plans for, you know, there's been all these plans talking about moving people out of the jails into other places. Mm-hmm. I know there's an assembly bill, I believe, is being talked about to be able to move them out of the state. Frankly, we need something happening now. And
our immediate need right now here in Shasta County is bed space for what we call pretrial defendants, inmates who are waiting to go to court. And that's our immediate need.
And so, and those are ones we can't send out of state.
Those are the people that we can't send out of county to the counties that we have contracts
with.
We
need probably 200
minimum.
200 minimum.
Yes.
Of that. So what we've got to do is, okay, we're going to push another microphone in here, because we have the capabilities for the chief.
Now, we got Bad Bob working right here.
Yeah, he's my man here. Chief, I mean, you could fill that up. You could make those arrests, and because you guys arrest them all the time now. There's that many out there.
Well,
right?
we're still averaging about 23 to 24 arrests a day. One of the biggest problems I see coming right now, and I think it's going to have a serious impact on AB 109, is the Bureau of State Community Corrections is going to release their new definition of recidivism. And I talked about this when I first started coming on your show a couple of years ago. The California probation chiefs put out a definition that is going to be adopted in almost that same form by the Bureau of State Community Corrections. The only dissenting vote on that was from law enforcement and the California Police Chiefs Association. That definition is going to require a conviction for somebody to be considered a recidivist. I find the definition disingenuous. I think it's going to automatically, by changing that metric, lower the recidivism rate. And that is the recidivism rate that they're going to carry to the state assembly and try to say that Number one, realignment's been a success. Number two, that we need to take enforcement dollars away and put it into rehabilitation programs, and it's going to further complicate this problem because it's giving a false picture of the success of 81 or 92.
Because there could be many, many arrests, and that person is out recidivating, committing new crimes, but it can take months, sometimes years, for that conviction to occur. Or the case could be not filed upon because maybe there isn't enough evidence. That doesn't mean that that person isn't out committing crime in our community.
And that's the point I wanted to make here. It doesn't mean the guy has changed. It hasn't. It just means we haven't got him back in the court again, and which is one of the major problems
we
have. No place to put him.
We arrested a guy the other night for the 14th time since January for felony crimes. They're property crimes. Tom's jail is full of violent criminals. So the person keeps getting out. We can't hold him because we have a lack of pre-sentence jail space. So the guy never shows up to court, and because he does, he's not considered a recidivist. The Kamala Harris, the Attorney General, has their definition that they're going to put out, which is rearrest with the charge filed. So if the person fails to appear, they're still a recidivist. But that is not going to be the official definition of the state of California. The official definition is going to require a conviction.
And the Attorney General isn't even really a stakeholder in any of this. It's the District Attorneys Association, police chiefs, sheriffs, probation officers, our legislature. The Attorney General doesn't prosecute these crimes. They needed to have the main stakeholder, but she's weighing in on it.
So is it time for a temporary holding facility?
We need a permanent holding facility and a temporary one on top of that. So I've been working on that, looking at our current county facilities. I spoke to someone that you referred me to, Carl, and looking at some particularly buildings that maybe the federal government has through the military, and can those be adapted or used for temporary housing that meets the qualifications for inmate housing, and also looking at some other options as well. And all that, even then, if we have the building, where do you put it? And then it still costs money to run it.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of questions here, but you know, I think it's is it insurmountable?
No. It's not insurmountable.
Okay.
We're coming up in about a minute, but I wanted to thank the chief for being a good partner, working together on trying to address these issues that impact our entire community, our county, and especially you and other community members that are involved, because together it takes a team effort to make a difference.
Well, you know what? We all love this community. We've got all that in common, and we should be able to move forward with this. We need to make our streets safe. Hey, thanks so much for being here. Tomorrow, Sharon Clark's going to be my co-host. And remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. We've got all these good guys out here today. We're all good guys today. We'll see you tomorrow. Carl Lindebach, KCNR, 1460.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
RN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Americans are pausing to remember the 9/11 terror attacks 13 years ago today. The tolling of a silver bell at 8:46 this morning, part of today's ceremony at New York's Ground Zero. It's also been a bagpipe procession, a moment of silence, and the reading aloud of the nearly 3,000 victims' names. Observances today in Washington, D.C., at the White House and the Pentagon.
It has now been 13 years. 13 years since the peace of an American morning was broken. 13 years since nearly 3,000 beautiful lives were taken from us.
And a solemn ceremony today in Shanksville, Pennsylvania as well. President Obama has called for new powers to battle ISIS in Iraq and Syria. There seems to be strong bipartisan support for that in Congress, although it's hardly unanimous support. Minnesota.